You can continue praying for me. I'm kind of in a conundrum. The Lord had me come in on my day off and begin writing the message for this morning. And I listened attentively to the Holy Spirit, and we have a message that I'm ready to go with. But the activities of the week have been kind of overwhelming, have they not?
Yes.
And I'm asking myself, do I teach this message this morning, or do we do something with regard to what is taking place around us right now? Does the church do something different other than come in, sing some songs to the Lord, and hear some big mouth shout his face off with a message? You know, the typical church this morning, what are they doing? Same thing they did last week. Same thing they're going to do next week. And so we've never been that church. We've been the church that responds to God. If we don't do a certain thing, that's okay. Not with some of you. You still want it done. But nonetheless, the Spirit has spoken to leadership, and we're trying to respond to him. We want to hear what everyone in the church has to say. His kids are really important. But what he wants us to do is even more important. So you can continue to pray for me in these next few moments, because I'm still struggling with, is it my flesh and spirit, or is it his Holy Spirit that's speaking to me about going in a different direction this morning for his glory and for the church being of great value as he wants it to be in the world, because the world needs us. That's why he saved you. He brought you into his family for a very special reason, to glorify and honor him and share his message with a needy world, and to encourage the church itself corporately on what we need to step up to the plate and maybe be doing differently this morning. So we're going to have on the screen in just a moment, we're going to have Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. That came out of my DPE this last week, my deep personal experience with him. So where you see your name, you who are in the church already know what to do. As a newcomer, we're going to ask you if you would. You don't have to. You don't even have to follow us in this if you don't want to. But I think you'll enjoy it. You know, the Word of God was written for you. The Word of God is alive. It can really activate one's life. So, very, very much. It was given to us if you're new with us. Maybe you haven't come to faith in Christ yet. But it was given to us because it was to teach us about what our Heavenly Father wants us to be doing as his sons and daughters. It is also there to correct us in things we may be doing that we didn't know was something that he didn't like and we need to stop. It's also there to rebuke us, to really get us to change our mind about something that needs to be let go. Stop doing it. But it's there to enhance our lives in righteousness, that we will live, that we will walk, live in such a way that is so pleasing to him. And then in our own hearts, we get thrilled to know that we just pleased the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our wonderful Heavenly Father. So as you read this, even as a newcomer, understand, he's speaking directly to you. He wants you to hear as you speak it aloud and with some strength in your voice. He wants to hear what you're saying. He wants you to hear what you are saying out loud that he has said to you in this wonderful, precious book that we have to live our lives by. That's why we have it, to live our lives by. So let's read it aloud, shall we? We begin with your first name in there, not mine. All right? Let's read it together. Ron, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, that seems pretty clear. But how have you been doing this last week with regard to what he said? Trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord with all your heart. How did that work out for you this last week? Were you really trusting him? Was your faith strong in him? Or were you worried about things like a fire over here? Your house, your things. Not your house, not your things, they all belong to him. But nonetheless, were you trusting him this week? Maybe it was something else going on. Trouble at home. Trouble between mom and dad. Maybe some trouble between, you know, the kids and one of the parents. Were you trusting in the Lord? What was going on? He wants us to trust in him. He wants to have faith in him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. He really wants us to be fully given over to him so that he can work in our lives and that we can see his hand actually moving upon us and making those necessary turns that he wants to see taken care of by you. Or maybe to invite another brother or sister in to receive additional help or prayer from them to help in the assisting of this. He says, don't depend on your own understanding. So many of us argue with him. I'll speak for me. I argue with him. And then I have to confess my sin of arrogance. How dare I argue with he who knows everything? There's nothing he doesn't know. Don't depend on your own understanding. You know, it breaks my heart that when I counsel with folks in the office and they say, well, God, you know, doesn't like that we have men marrying men and women marrying women. And so what don't you like about that? Well, I just don't like it. But it's okay that he said it, right? He knows all things. He's God. He's the one that decided that marriage is between a man and a woman. You going to argue with him about that? And this person said, yes. I'll back off. If he can't convince you, I know I can't convince you. This isn't something that I'm asking you to believe. He's telling you this is the way it is. He is God. Ron isn't. Don't trust in your own understanding. We have a culture that's very captivating. We have a culture that's very sinful. Seek his will in all you do. All you do. Should I go to get my Starbucks this morning? Did I go get a Starbucks this morning? I'm not going to tell you. Seek his will in all you do. I mean, that's, you know, like $3.50 that could go to Samaritan's purse. Yeah. Yeah. And if I don't go to Lulu's this afternoon, well, that's probably another $25 that could go to Samaritan's Purse. And if I eat leftovers tonight, which Kath is always trying to force on me, instead of going to her favorite Mexican place, now I'm getting to her. Maybe that could be another $25 that goes to Samaritan's Purse. My goodness, look what just happened here. I almost came up with $75 that could go to Samaritan's Purse to help people I have no clue who they are, who lost everything, and be a blessing to them. Just by giving up that is not really going to affect me at all. Amazing how that kind of works out. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Well, His path is usually righteous. And let's be honest, even as sinners saved by grace, there are those moments when we would rather not do what He would prefer. Be honest. But that's sin, folks. And this morning, this passage, it was for me earlier in the week, and I know it's for someone here this morning, at least one of you. Would you fess up to who it was meant for this morning? Well, good. Good. You're the only honest ones in the bunch. So here we have it. So this morning, the message that I have for you, how should we now live? It's the beginning of the year. We're going to get back to the book of Acts. But He laid it on my heart. We're at the beginning of the year. Let's say something fresh. Let's encourage ourselves to do something new. Maybe it'll even become exciting as we begin to delve into what we will dust up by going through the message. But just in during this time and being with you and those of you who prayed for me, we're going to do something very different. I can't tell you all of what it is because He's just kind of revealing it to me right now. But we're going to be an honest church in a very special way this morning. And He's going to use each and every one of you who are born again in a rich, rich, wonderful, and positive way as His son or His daughter. He's got a plan for us that I've got some ideas about. Family, what is the one communication tool that we can always depend on? Prayer. How many of you would agree with that? Okay. That's what we're going to do. Some of us will have the opportunity to pray aloud for what's taking place over there south of us. Keeping in mind, Kath and I live, no, that's south. Kath and I live north of us. And over the years we've lived there, we've had disaster knocking at our back door 3 times. Fires. Wildfires. Man, I've gone from $1,600 a year in fire insurance, mortgage insurance, to $6,700 a year because of those fires. I'm going to have to commute from somewhere else to come and be the shepherd here, I guess. They're just running me out of California due to costs. But at any rate, we're going to see this this morning, it's not going to be a downer in any way. It's going to be that which is uplifting and encouraging for us. And hopefully we will go forward to all these other folks that may be in a real downer. I found myself getting a little depressed this week, watching the fires progress on television. But then I found myself in the midst of deeper prayer using the television set. Oftentimes I use the newspaper. I can look at the lead stories on the front page and I can see the person and I pray specifically for that individual. Their names are there, usually, or the group's name, and you can pray for them. You ever do that? Think about it. Pray directly for them. Be their intercessor. Care. So, yesterday, I was watching this. They kept calling it a DC-10, this great big jet that carries Foscheck in it and is going to drop that stuff all over a neighborhood to keep the fire at bay. It's not a DC-10, folks. It's an L-1011 made by Lockheed. Fact checker. You know, being a private pilot for many years, I know my planes. This is not some DC Douglas thing. Anyway, as it comes out of the shot, you get the look right into the pilot and co-pilot's windows. And guess what? You can pray for that pilot. Did you ever think about that? You can pray for that pilot. You can pray for his or her co-pilot. And you can be praying for them that their next time around that they drop it exactly where it needs to go and that they don't hit anything else like these little inventions we put up in the air that did ground one of our super scoopers by putting a hole in the wing. And when those are in the air, those drones, our people can't fly. Too dangerous. So anyway, praying for them, praying directly for them. I don't know their names, but you can see some of them. You can see each helicopter. It was like they were doing it back during Vietnam, coming in a particular way to hit the fire. There was four of them, one after the other, dropping their load. And I could pray for that one, and then I could pray for the next one, and I could pray for the third one, and I could pray for the fourth one. And then when they were coming back, it seemed like they all had something different to do. But you could be praying for them. These hot shots, you know, you see them in their uniforms with their helmets and their goggles on, and they're walking up these paths in a uniform line. There's 20 of them. There was a bunch of them going out there to stop the fire in Granada Hills this week, not too far from Pastor Eugene's house. And I could pray for each of them one at a time. One at a time, every single one of them. Now, they don't know that I'm praying for them. And it may not even matter to them. But I'm able to actually do something productive that the Holy Spirit would ask any one of us to do, but how many of us think we can actually use the television as a prayer tool on a disaster like what's happening before us? When I saw those patches on the arms of the Santa Monica police in the LA territory, I'm going, yeah, but I could pray for those kids, those young officers. All that to simply say, we have a great tool here, and we're going to use it this morning. for the glory of our Lord and to see what he might do with it in the lives of people we've never met. And be a blessing to them that they may never know about, but we will be action stepping today. So, we're going to begin. And I'm going to begin by a simple, simple prayer. Abba, Father, we have come here corporately. In my thinking, I can't speak for everyone who's here, Father. But I've come corporately to worship you. I want to see that you are being trusted this morning with all of our heart. It's important to me as your Holy Spirit drew me close in my DPE this one of the days this week to get out of thinking of my own understanding and to look to you who knows all things and to allow myself to be drawn in by your wonderful Spirit to do things that would be of eternal value that would honor you and glorify you just at the personal level. I wanted to seek your will. And that's what we want to do now. We want to come, we want to seek your will, and to look to you for the path that we individually this morning might take in prayer for fellow human beings that live on the other side of the mountain from us, going through what many of us have previously gone through, but to demonstrate our availability to you and you using us for your glory and to be of help to these thousands of people south of us. But in that process and moving there, my Lord, I want to be used by you, please. Use me this morning to water the seeds that you've already placed in the hearts of your sons and daughters. To water the seeds of optimism. To water the seeds of encouragement. To convince my church family or to assure them, to call them forward, to have them think about the great, great potential that they have this morning to be an intercessor on the part of people they don't know, nor do I. There is such great potential in following after you and in doing the things you've asked us to. You've asked us to pray without ceasing. You've made it clear as we have read your word that we are anointed, we are special, because we are your kids. You've made it clear that you have chosen for your own reasons, not by anything we have said, anything we have done, that you favored us. You've empowered us, you've equipped us, you've given each person here special talents and abilities. And the beautiful thing, it's even hard to understand that I can be included in this, but you've said all my brothers here, each one of my sisters are masterpieces. They're custom made. And you're really crazy about them. And you've pulled them into a priesthood, a royal priesthood. You want us to remember that we are not victims, even if we should have been south of the hill or way out there to the east of us, like the lambs were, and had to get out of their house for a few days. But thank you, Father, in just this moment of thinking, they're not victors, they're overcomers because of you. Because of you, because they have been faithful to you, and you kept them safe, you kept their house safe. And we thank you for that this morning. But all of us are conquerors. You told us that in Romans chapter 8. And you told us in 1 John that we are overcomers, not undercomers. You've really made us a very special people. A very special people. So, Father, as I prepare to ask my church family to step forward in prayer, I ask us all to remember, Jesus, how you taught us to pray. You said, pray like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, holy, holy, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Oh, yes, Lord. As the morning prayer group prays, not only for more people to come and pray with us, but to pray that your kingdom come, that as Pastor Eugene spoke this morning about Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, come. May we begin to see the birth pangs, the beginnings of the kingdom. I know it won't be here fully except until the millennia, Father, but we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in each of our lives. We come and we confess, we repent of our sins that we can offer up prayers for these people that we haven't met and who have great needs right now. Please forgive us of all of our sins so that we can speak to you and know that you're going to listen to us because we have confessed and repented yet again our sins. We ask you, Father, that you give us this day not so much our daily bread as it is readily available for most of us. And if there's anyone here who is hungry and does not have the ability to have food today, then, Father, lead them to me. Lead them to Kathy. I'll give them my leftovers.
Hallelujah.
Just kidding again with you, Lord. Is that we will see that they are fed. And forgive us our debts, our sins, as we have forgiven people who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You said, for if you forgive others their trespasses, you, Father, will also forgive us. But if we do not forgive others their trespasses, their sins, neither will you forgive us our present sins. It's not as though Jesus didn't already take care of our sins. But in coming before you, you want us to come before you sinless, confessed, repentant. For we are all sinners. And remember, we've been saved by grace. So, Father, confessed and repentant we come. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of your grace, your favor, that we may receive mercy and find your favor, your grace, to help in this particular time of need, whether it be ours, but more importantly, those, Father, who are right now struggling, as most of us have never had to struggle, but some of us possibly. So, my Lord, these things I lay before you, thanking you for the truth that if we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, that you will make clear that you have healed us of our sins, and that the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman, the prayer of this righteous person, has great power as it is working. So may we step forward and pray, Father, and pray for these people in need. For I ask this in the name of your wonderful Son and the Holy Spirit, who even now is praying for us. Amen. So if there's someone here who would like to come forward, even as I just did, and pray for the people we have yet to meet over the hill, come and pray. Just a paragraph. A couple of paragraphs. Who would like to come and pray? Let's all bow our heads as Kelly prays.
Abba Father, having seen the fires up close when they were burning and afterwards, Lord, coming alongside individuals that were crying because they lost everything, what I should have done instead of offering a hug is I should have pulled that person aside and prayed for them, Lord. But if I have that opportunity to go into the burn areas again, that's what I'm going to be doing, is I'm going to be praying with them, Lord. Father, I want to pray for every single firefighter out there, especially those that have come in from Washington and Nevada and Arizona and everywhere from Mexico, Lord. They've come to help our firefighters with this tragedy, Lord. And I pray for the individuals for the LA City fire copters, for copter 135, LA County's copters. We just pray for each individual pilot that, as Ron said, that as they fly around, that they're able to make the drop on the exact spots to put this fire out. We pray for the camp crews, Lord, that each individual firefighter on that camp crew that's coal trailing, Lord, that they are able to get that fire out. So with these winds that we are continuing to hear howling out there, Lord, that they don't kick up any more embers to start any more fires, Lord. So, and we're also very grateful for each individual police officer that and the National Guard that are standing at every street in Altadena, in the Palisades, and protecting the neighborhoods from looting, Lord. So we are just so grateful to have them out there, Lord. We're so grateful to see Arvin here today, Lord. We pray for his graduation this coming Friday, and we just pray that he's going to make a wonderful officer as well as Ronald, Lord. So we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Who's next? Good to see the men stepping up.
Yes. I just want to pray for all the first responders. My friend there, Edward Gold, he lost his house, his car, his business. I know a lot of people who lost a lot of things in the Altadena fire. I reached out to some of my friends. I was at their houses after I did the Michael Jackson movie. I was at this house, and it's all gone. I know it's all gone. I reached out to a bunch of people, and they're not getting back to me. I know they're in shelters right now. So let's just pray for the people that that lost everything, and please pray for the people who passed away, their family and friends, and just thank God for protecting our communities. And I just want to ask somebody if anybody can go to Santa Anita Racetrack today at some point. We have my wife reached out to the church family and to bring stuff to Santa Anita, but our car is full, and I know we have more items, and if anybody could step up at church and take these items, I would really appreciate it, because these people really need it. So if anybody in the church could take some of this stuff, please, to the Santa Anita Racetrack and drop this stuff off, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I want to lift up the children of the families that have been impacted we know how confusing this is as adults, but Lord, the children of, I'm sure they're confused, Lord, and they're wondering, and Lord, so I ask that you would comfort them, Lord, that you would give their parents the right words to say, that you would bring other individuals alongside to counsel them, Lord. Lord, I pray that counseling would include making them aware of the blessing of knowing you and the strength and the comfort there is available, the warmth of your arms being wrapped around them. So I do pray, Lord, that you would just be with the children and be with their parents that I'm sure are also the added burden beyond the loss, but trying to be a good parent through this as well. I lift all this up to you in your wonderful and glorious name.
Amen. Who's next?
Lord, I stand before you and our church family so humbled. As we look at the devastation, we remember that you are in control. Even the wind obeys you. And that you have not promised to protect us from devastation. But we thank you for the promise that you will walk with us. I pray for those that are walking in darkness, in pain, in suffering. We know, Father, that you are the God of all comfort. As we pray for these people, we pray that their hearts and their eyes would be opened to who you are. The God of love, the God who is in control of all things, that you will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what we're going through. Lord, we know that you are not punishing. We know that in your sovereignty, you are teaching, you are loving. We know that for the believers who are suffering, you will work all this out for your good and your glory. We do not know how much longer this is going to go on, but you do. So we cling to your promise. We remember that you have said to give thanks in all things. It's so hard to give thanks when people have lost homes and loved ones. But yet, we pray that this would be a great wake-up call as we realize the only thing that lasts is our relationship with you. Everything else is fleeting. Everything will be burned as wood, hay, and stubble. But you, O Lord, will reign forever. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In Jesus' strong and powerful name, amen. And please may Ron be thankful for his leftovers.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you give us this wonderful privilege to come to you in prayer. Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth, you told us in Matthew to ask, to seek, and to knock. And that's what we're doing, Lord. We're asking you, we're seeking you, we're knocking on your door, asking you, Father, in this terrible time to help. Help all who have been so impacted by these horrible fires. Father, I pray for all the leaders, the mayor, and the leaders of the fires, and the police, and the sheriffs, all those leaders, Father, and the governor and others, Lord. I just pray, Father, they would come together and do what is necessary to take care of this situation and to stop these fires. And later on, they can figure out what's wrong and what needs to be corrected. But for right now, Lord, they would just come together and work together to solve this situation. And I pray they would turn to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They would turn to you and seek you. You are the great and mighty God who has created all things. Mm-hmm. The winds, they're in your power. The rains that we need are in your power,
Lord.
Help us, help them, Lord, mm-hmm. to seek you. And we continue to pray, Lord, that your will be done. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, and that all will know that you are God. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bonnie, why don't you come on up so you're close by when Judy... No.
Father, thank you so much for being in control. And Father, as I sat there, I'm feeling convicted of being so comfortable and telling myself I'm too busy. I have things to do. How dare I feel that way, you know? I mean, whom shall I send? And I need to step up and say, send me. I'm going to go home and ask my husband if I can use the truck, and if not, I'll use my car and drive some things out to Santa Anita. It's so easy. It's wonderful to pray, and there's some of us that's all we can do, but there's many of us who could take some time out of our normal routine. And help. And I'm sure I'm going to feel a lot better to try to help, Father, rather than know that I could have and just stayed home. At least it's going to feel good to know that I cared enough to step up. And thank you for convicting me of my selfishness. And I do pray that those who have been affected, have lost everything, I do pray that they will turn to you, that they will realize that material things do not last, and that we can maybe be there for them to show them, you know, show them your love. Mm-hmm. In your son's name I pray.
Amen.
Lord, I come to you in thanks, Lord. I thank you so much for these amazing men and women that you have provided for us, these firefighters, these policemen, these the National Guard. And we thank you for their bravery and their skill. Seeing these videos, as Pastor Ron said, the airplane pilots, the helicopter pilots, and the skill they have, Lord, we ask you to continue to guide their hands, guide them to these places that need attention. Mm-hmm. We thank you so much for the training, prestigious training they've received, so they may help us in this time of need, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that please help our president, our governor, our mayor, the police chiefs, the fire chiefs, down to the lowest level of rank, down to the individual policemen and firemen, the paramedics, the everybody, Lord, just to guide them, continue to guide them, Lord, and mm-hmm. look over them. This place I used to work at, the Getty, and driving through the Palisades, Lord, such a beautiful community, Lord. Just please watch over the people, Lord, as they're displaced. Mm-hmm. Guide them in the coming months and years as they try to rebuild, gain some sense of normalcy to their lives again, Lord. And allow them to look to you, Lord, and that you may be a shining light in the darkness, Lord. Mm-hmm. Just please continue to look over them, Lord, and protect. We thank you, Lord, and all these things in your wonderful and glorious name.
If you're thinking about driving out to Santa Anita, I've been in contact with them, and this is one thing they definitely don't need, and that is clothing.
They do need shoes. Shoes are desperate.
And they're needing cash. Okay. Kath and I have gone the Samaritan Purse way. You go on their website, page 1, left-hand corner, California wildfire. So, anyone else that would like to come forward and love on these folks? Okay. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And as they come, would you bow with me one last time this morning to talk to our gracious Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you very much for your great attention to us this morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the fact that you've made clear. You listen to all the things we have to say, and that you will act upon those things that Jesus would act upon. So we lay ourselves before you, trusting in so many of your prayers as well as your promises for us. You are absolutely awesome. And as at least from this church, you have heard every once in a while that we think, not in a funny way, but the term that's not been used much, but is a good term to use when we speak about the greatness of our God, that you are bodacious. So it is in your Son's name all these prayers have been offered up. This musical prayer that is about to be offered up, we offer it to you as well. In the clear, wonderful, loving, gracious name of your Son. Amen.